everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be one of our furry friends, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful tapir. This is a very special episode, not only because it is a listener-requested episode, as it always is each week, but because it is that listener's birthday. So happy birthday, B. This was requested by your partner, Nathan, who wrote into the show quite some time ago to request this wonderful animal. So I hope you enjoy your special episode, and I hope that you enjoy time with friends, family, and all those close to you. So you have Nathan to thank for your special episode. And you listeners out there are so special to the show that if it is your birthday soon or upcoming, depending on where you are in the world, you can send me a letter and I will send you a handwritten letter back, like a birthday card, which B got. So I hope you enjoy that little handwritten letter as well. If you want to learn about a specific animal, you can send your requests to Relax with Animal Facts on Instagram, or you can send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. I respond to each and every one of you, so please don't be shy to reach out and tell me what creature you want to learn about, and maybe something about the show that you like. So now let us go to a fan review, as we do each week, because you guys do so many reviews for the show. I am so grateful. And this one comes from GD Buff CNJ. I am sorry if I am not very good at reading your guys' username. And they wrote all the way from the United States of America. I am recording this from Canada, as many of you know. So although I say all the way from the US, it really isn't all that far away. But they wrote, "This is great. It is super relaxing and informative. I'm listening from the island of Barbados, where they have an abundance of animals, and I love that I get to learn about some of them." Thank you for such a wonderful review. And I know that the island of Barbados has some very special little creatures out there that I can't find here in Canada. But I am so happy that you're able to join me to learn about some of our friends from all around the world, and maybe from Barbados as well. If you enjoy the show, or the show has been of some benefit to you, one of the biggest ways that you can show your support or love for the show is to leave a review on wherever you are, such as Apple Podcasts, or I'm not sure what the other ones are exactly. But for some of you, you might not even be able to leave one, and that is totally okay as well. It is plenty to just join me every week, that I may have some great company to explore the different parts around the world. So before we get into the main part of the show, I am just going to say where I got my facts from, because without these resources, this episode would not have been possible. I got my facts from mentalfloss.com, livescience.com, and animals.sandiegozoo.org. Now, we have used each of these resources many a time on the show, so I'm going to leave those resources in the show notes where you can go and look for yourself. They have some great information about all different kinds of animals. So now that we got all of that stuff out of the way, we can go to the portion of the show that I'm sure many of you are excited to get to. And that is where we go through our bodies and realize where we carry some of that tension. It might be in your hands, in your legs, in your arms, in your head. For me today, it feels mostly in my head. I had a big cup of coffee this morning and I was running around. So I'm so glad to be here now with you guys out there from all around the world to relax along with me. After you've noticed maybe where you're carrying some of that tension, do your best. Don't try to force anything, but just do your best to relax those parts of your body that might feel tense as we go into this immersive experience with me, Steph Wolf, into the rainforests where tapirs reside. Now, before I go into any of the main facts, I want to address the name tapir. Some resources say that it can rhyme with paper, meaning that tapir could be pronounced taper, depending on which part of the world you are from, but for this episode, I am going to be saying tapir. And these little guys don't just live in the rainforest, but they also live in regular forests, savannas, and wetlands in a range of different places. And this range includes places such as Central America, Mexico, South America, and Southeast Asia. Tapirs generally prefer wooded or grassy kinds of areas with places that can offer them a good amount of shelter during the day, and maybe a lake or a river or a pond for taking a nighttime dip or bath in the water. What a wonderful thing to imagine a tapir being in this very wooded, grassy area and going into the bodies of water where they take these little dips. Although we have learned of some animals on this show that like to be in the water that maybe the tapir doesn't want to be friends with. But this is an episode about the tapir, not about those other ones. So let's sort of imagine what they look like if you haven't seen them for yourself. They are very large mammals, so when I say these little guys, I guess they are little when you compare them with an elephant, but they are fairly large mammals that look like wild hogs with a kind of anteater snout. But in reality, tapirs are neither of those things, and they are most closely related when it comes to genetic material to horses and rhinos. If you put a horse next to a tapir, I would have never guessed that they were closer than to wild hogs. And there is another name for the tapir that is used in Indonesia specifically, and the animal is called a badak, which is the same word for rhinos. And in Thailand, the word for tapir is psom set. I am sorry if I mispronounce some of these things. For those of you that are from Thailand or Indonesia, I apologize, but I am doing my best, trust me. And this word, psom set, means mixture is finished, and it refers to the belief by some that the tapir was created from leftover parts of other animals, and that's according to the San Diego Zoo. Isn't that interesting? The sort of little bits of mythology that come with some of the creatures that we find. And indeed, tapirs are a bit of a hodgepodge. That just means that they look like they are a lot of things. Just like on an episode when we covered perhaps the most hodgepodge animal I can think of, the platypus. That one was certainly interesting. But the tapir is also one as well. They are about the size of a donkey. They have these round bodies, short legs, little stubby tails, and almost look like a hippo in some ways. Their eyes and their ears are fairly small, and they have four toes on each front foot with three toes on each back foot, and that's according to the San Diego Zoo as well. I have to say that after Googling them and looking at some of these, I can't say little guys because they actually are fairly large in comparison to some of the animals we've covered, but they are nothing short of astounding to look at. Truly a unique creature. Their most distinctive feature is likely to be their snout, meaning their nose. For those of you that aren't acquainted with the term snout, it is flexible like an elephant's trunk, but the tapir's trunk is actually a combination of its upper lip and nose. And with these parts of their body, they can grab things with their trunks somewhat like an elephant. They will use it to pluck leaves and fruit out of trees, according to National Geographic, and then they will place these little goodies into their mouth. And when threatened, they can even submerge themselves in a river and use their snouts like a snorkel. Isn't that just one of the most adorable things you have ever heard? That they can make themselves a makeshift snorkel to avoid predators. I would like to imagine that when they see or hear a predator and go into the water, that some Mission Impossible music starts playing as they snorkel through the water to avoid detection. What an amazing feature these guys have. And there are five species of tapir, and they are relatively similar in size. We know from this show that different species of the same animal can vary greatly in size, but they will range from about 29 to 42 inches. For those of you that prefer centimeters, don't worry, we have the calculation on hand. It is 74 to 107 centimeters, and that is from its foot to its shoulder, and it will weigh a hefty 500 to 800 pounds. That's about 227 to 363 kilograms. And the largest species is the Malayan tapir, which can grow up to 800 pounds. That's about 363 kilograms. So when I say little guys, 800 pounds is not exactly what you would imagine, but they can grow to be quite large, and they are described as somewhat social creatures. They will graze together in groups called a candle. Would you imagine that a group of animals would be called a candle? But they don't seem to have many complicated or complex relationships. And tapirs have a relatively long gestation period. And gestation period is a fancy word for those of you that are unsure. It is a fancy word for meaning how long an animal is pregnant for or how long they carry a child before bringing them into the world. And in the case of tapirs, their gestation period is about 13 months, which is a long time, and they will only give birth to one baby at a time. The offspring are called calves and can stand a couple of hours after birth. Isn't that amazing? When we compare that to human beings, it would be quite remarkable for a human baby to stand after a couple hours of being born. So here we gotta give credit where credit is due. They look like brown and beige striped watermelons on legs. And I have to say that I think this is close to the 70th episode of the show. And that is about the best description of an animal that I have seen so far. Brown and beige striped watermelons on legs. To Live Science and your writers, I have to give you a big round of applause. The pattern is good for camouflage, but they will lose their stripes as they get older. The calves will stop growing at about 18 months, and at 2 to 4 years of age, calves are ready to mate and have offspring of their own. And they will live on an average of 25 to 30 years in the wild. And if you did not know, it turns out tapirs are so special that they have their own day. It is called World Tapir Day, and it is on April 27th each year. So unfortunately, at the time of this recording, we are quite past April 27th. So we'll just have to wait until next year to celebrate together. And one interesting fact is that tapirs will often curl their lips and raise their snouts to make a funny looking face. What is going on here? Are they just really happy to see those photographers? Is it about to sneeze? Is it just making funny faces at its parents? This weird behavior actually has a name, and it is called the Flemin response. Other animals like horses, giraffes, even some house cats, as well as other animals, do it as well. But with the tapir's snout, it seems very impressive. And I can say that I believe my dog, my little golden doodle named Molly, has the Flemin response. Oftentimes, whenever I come home after a long day or I bring a friend or two over, Molly's little lips will come up almost like a little smile. And my friends have always said, "What is going on with her? What is happening?" And I just always said that she loves to smile. But I guess this is called the Flemin response. When these animals curl their lips, in reference to the tapir, not to Molly, they are using an extra powerful sense somewhere between taste and smell. The action opens up a pair of ducts in their mouths to send material up into a special sensory body called the vomeronasal organ. So it looks as though this behavior in the tapir is for a specific purpose, but I would rather like to think that they are just very happy to see me. And for the last fact of this episode, it is about the feistiness of a tapir. And I am going to tell you here to not ever try to fight a tapir. They may look like fuzzy little gentle plant eaters or even watermelons on legs, and they are typically very shy, but they do have a tough side. When they decide not to flee and instead to fight, they can be pretty unpredictable and will fiercely defend themselves and their young. And there are documented cases in which they can maim or even kill human beings. In one high-profile case, the former Costa Rican Minister of Environment and Energy was attacked by a mother tapir when trying to get a closer look at the baby. So the bottom line is, while these little watermelons love to just take dips in the water and snorkel around, they do attack very, very rarely. But you should always treat these animals, and all the animals on this show for that matter, with respect and gentleness, and giving them the space they need to feel safe and comfortable, especially when we are talking about a mama tapir defending her young. So now let's go to the final fact of the episode, which is the name. Where does the name tapir come from? Well, it comes from an indigenous Brazilian language and means thick. And I have to say that this is a very accurate sort of description when it comes to the tapir. And this sort of description of thick refers to the animal's hide, according to the San Diego Zoo. What a wonderful little adventure today, where we are snorkeling around with some of these watermelons. I just love that. And it is even more wonderful that it is to celebrate a fan's birthday. So B, I hope you enjoyed your birthday episode. And each of these episodes are always so special because all the recommendations come from you guys. So if you want to learn about a particular animal that you really like and enjoy and find interesting, please send a message to Relax with Animal Facts on Instagram, or you can also email relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. A big thank you to all of you who support the show on Patreon or any other way through reviews and following and doing all that you do. Please know that supporting the show financially is something that really is not at all necessary. It is only out of the generosity of some of you guys that you do so. I will do this show for all of you for free. It does not matter to me. So when you take that initiative to donate or to do anything like that, I am ever so grateful. So thank you all for joining me and for keeping me good company in these rainforests and other habitats. I hope that you will join me on next week's episode when we cover the next animal. Take care.